You can go.
Okay, welcome everyone. You are here at the Budget Administration Committee meeting for Kemp Parks CSD on Tuesday, November 7th at approximately 6:50 p.m. The CSD. First order of business, General Manager, would you call the roll, please?
Director Bazette.
Present.
Director Scobie.
Here.
Okay, very good. Would you read the public testimony statement, please, General Manager?
Public testimony will be called on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules.
Very good. Thank you. The adoption of the agenda is the next item.
So moved.
Well, we have a motion to move the agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Now a motion to approve the conformed agenda. Have you had a chance to review that?
I did. Looks fine.
Okay.
Motion.
Okay. Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We move on to open forum. Members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. Do we have any public input? Seeing none, we have no Zoom tonight, do we? We're not?
No.
Okay, very good. Seeing none, we close the open forum and move directly to department matters. And this will be wage and comprehension study, General Manager and Ms. Greek.
This is a report back. On the wage and compensation study. I missed your, I was unable to attend the last budget and admin committee meeting, but you asked us to receive additional quotes, which we did. Their MRG, Municipal Resource Group, is able to provide the services for $15,750. And staff is recommending that we move forward with this wage and compensation study. We've talked about our labor agreement that is coming due, and we'll start negotiating after the first of the year. But regardless of it, and I think you should use this study when we go to the negotiating table. But in addition to that, or that what is most important is that I think through this process of trying to find sustainability for the district, it's very important that we base our services and our capacity to do services on a certain number of staff that we are able to pay a fair and reasonable compensation to. And I think we're struggling right now with retention and recruitment. And so keeping employees and having well-trained professional employees is really important. And so this study provides a foundation for us to achieve that. It may result in fewer staff at the district to provide those services. We may have to cut services, but at least we're moving in a direction to pay a fair compensation to the people that work here and those people, you know, with the expectation that they will provide a very good service to us.
So I have one question. You took three bids. And Municipal Services Group came in, what, about $5,000 or $6,000
mm-hmm.
less.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of reviewing the comparisons of, did you find them all pretty much equal, or is there any? And are you recommending Municipal Services
yes,
Group?
Yes, we are recommending Municipal Services Group. They've worked with us in the past. They helped us with when we created the position that Christina now holds, our finance. HR manager position. They were there for that. They also helped us with the organizational chart. So they are familiar with the district and they worked with us back in 2018, 2019.
Dr. Scobie, questions?
I read the report, no questions.
Okay. Is this an action item?
Or well,
is this, what are we doing with this?
This is not budgeted at this point in time. That said, what will happen is that this is under the general manager's signing authority. And so if we need, there is monies budgeted for contract services and professional services. So either this will fit into an existing budget, and if it does not, it'll come back to the board during mid-year budget adjustments if we need to increase that particular line item. But I am able to sign this under the general manager's authority, but certainly looking to you all because we are pinching pennies.
So what is the next action on this one then?
Would you support moving this ahead, but knowing that there may be some funding needed if we can't squeeze it into our existing budget?
Okay, I suggest we move it forward then.
I do too. I'm happy that you got the other bids that give me some comfort that the one we have that was such sticker shock.
Yeah.
And it may have to be delayed until the district can identify funding for it.
Okay.
So I would be in agreement to move it forward to the board with some sort of funding source.
Okay.
If possible.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. The preliminary
hearing. You need to take it out to the public.
I'm sorry. I thought I had. My apologies. Okay. It's open for public input. The wage and comprehension study. Seeing none, it's closed. Very good. Back to board. Anything further?
No.
Scobie, not from me. Very good. We move on to item number two, the preliminary year-end budget actuals. Ms. Greek?
Can I just open it and let anybody that has questions
ask questions? Just summarize it. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
By the end of the year, we ended in a negative of 131,452. It did not include the $500,000 budgeted transfer to reserves. We didn't do any budget adjustments during the year just because at mid-year we seemed to be on target. Really what pushed us over was a lot of the emergency repairs for Cameron Park Lake. What wasn't in my staff report is it looks like FEMA is going to be reimbursing us for about $140,000. It was, I believe, 170 total for both last year and this year. But we're looking at recouping about $140,000.
Will that offset the deficit of 131?
It won't go back into the 22-23 year. We've already closed our books. It'll go back in, depending on how we end this year, it would go into fund balance.
Okay.
But it'll be recognized in 23-24.
So we will get a credit for that at some point. Okay, very good.
What we've done in the past, Sydney, when we've had significant changes on our bottom line, and we report that out in a chart. Sometimes we'll put a star next to it and explain what happened. There was a revenue reversal a few years ago, which we were right on track except for that revenue reversal, and it was like $130,000. So, you know, we just note those things as we move through.
Okay, as someone who just tries to balance my checkbook, and I'm sure I have a few other people in that place, is this $140,000, is it going to cancel that deficit? Maybe that's a very black and white way of answering asking it.
I can't answer that because it all depends on how we land at the end of this year. Okay.
It'll cancel it in the fund balance.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how's
that?
Okay, it'll cancel it in the fund balance.
Okay.
So this negative number will go into the fund balance. And then this year, we have that additional money coming in. If we hold true to our budget, it will offset it. If something happens in our budget and we have another emergency that we are not, you know, we do not have FEMA money coming in for us and another unexpected, that might change it, but it's intended that it'll reverse out in the fund.
And then maybe from my understanding, and I'm probably not the only one, this is for the budget that ends June 30th. Are the numbers basically reflecting that? And the reimbursement from FEMA is after July 1?
Yes.
So does that somewhat explain it?
Yes.
Okay.
You got it.
Okay, very good. Okay, thank you. One more question. Okay. Revenues ended at 104%, expenditures at 98.98. Is that on based on that end of the year budget that we projected for June 30th? Where do those percentages come from?
It comes based on our budget. Where we ended at the end of the year and how, what our actuals are. So that's why I said it didn't include the $500,000 transfer. That's why it shows expenditures are only at 98%. Because we had budgeted that $500,000 to reserves.
Okay. So it's the budget that we put out there at the end of the second quarter.
It's our final budget that that comes out in September,
right.
And then our actual numbers, the actual money that we spend.
Okay.
So based on our numbers, we were over in revenues. We got more revenue than we expected.
Right.
And expenditures were less, but that was really just because we didn't do that reserve.
Okay, thank you for that. Director Scobie?
Yeah, so you said that FEMA was going to we applied for 170, but we're only getting 140. So, did I hear that right?
Hold on a second. There's a match portion, so we have to match a certain dollar amount.
Okay.
So I believe Mike said he thinks the expenditures are about 170,000 total. So that's for last fiscal year, and we're still doing
okay.
some stuff this fiscal year. And he's planning on getting about 140 back.
For this fiscal year, does that mean it will roll, the remaining amount of 30 will roll into the following fiscal
mm-hmm.
year?
No, we're getting it back this fiscal year. So
but
we're going to get it for 23, 24.
Okay. But we're only getting 140 out of the 170 of damages that we
mm-hmm.
incurred.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because there is a required match.
Yes.
And FEMA wants to close the books on Cameron Park by the end of the year.
Okay, good. Send us our check.
Yeah.
So the other question I have is that the budget for last year was a balanced budget with $500,000 moved to the reserves. But we have higher than expected revenues at 104 and lower expected revenue expenditures at 98. So why? And so that is incorporated in, and that's why we're only at $131,000 in deficit. So we should have, I mean, we have higher revenues.
You didn't have a balanced budget.
Are you sure? Because
yeah.
It just looks like it's $500,000 moved to reserves if you scroll to
so,
the bottom there.
So it, you had revenues of $7 million. And you had a expenditure of $7.5 million.
Okay. Following along here on my very slow computer.
That's all right.
7.4. Okay.
Which page are we on?
So,
The actual is
so
7.5 with 500,000. Okay. 7.5 million. And
this is
7.042.
7.042.
But if you see where we
yeah,
came
but if you add in back
that,
in, if you add back in the $500,000,
and then here,
you know, we expected we were going to pull out of our fund balance
right.
$500,000.
Right.
So if
thanks.
You put that back, that'd be 7,042, which would match the income.
So. I'm not sure that I can explain. So,
yeah,
what Director Scobie and I are talking about is that. Go ahead and repeat your question.
So, if you assume we're not transferring anything from our reserves,
mm-hmm.
then our expenditures and our revenue match.
Mm-hmm.
Our money coming in and money going out matches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know, because the percentage has $500,000 in there. That's
correct.
Why.
Yes.
Okay. Correct.
That's
got it.
That's
you got
why
it.
I highlighted
yeah.
that
okay.
we haven't done
yeah.
the transfer.
Yeah, okay. Understood. Now, let's see. The other question I had, we are down on our fire marshal plan review. But we paid more to the contractor, so that should all come out. We get fully reimbursed for that. Okay, I see what you're saying. So even after we're fully reimbursed, then we're still lower than expected. Okay, is that correct? Am I saying that right?
So the fact that we didn't have the fire prevention specialist in there, they were having InterWest do the inspections. So there isn't there's not as much happening. There weren't as many inspections that were coming in, so that's why the revenue seemed a little bit lower.
That makes good sense, yeah.
Is that what you understand?
InterWest and inspections are two different things.
That's what I thought.
So InterWest gets used for plan reviews, yes. Sprinkler plans, building plan reviews. So that gets billed back to the applicant.
Right.
InterWest. Now, yes, without having the fire prevention specialist, our inspection numbers did go down, which then decreases the projected revenue coming back in. It's just not tied with InterWest.
Right. Okay. Understood.
But yes, to Christina's point is accurate. Our revenue stream was not as high without having
the individual going out doing
the inspections.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Understood. And then what is that? That's pretty much all I have. I mean, it's pretty impressive considering our lurching left, right, and all over the place. That we're only 131. I wish it was better than that, but
I think knowing we did that remarkable.
I'm really impressed.
Knowing that we're going to be getting our FEMA reimbursement that would cover most of that is comforting. So, all right, those are all my questions.
And this is, to me, refreshing from where we looked last spring, you know, when they first reported the deficit. So it's an exceptional job on both of your part. Thank you. And again, thank you for the reminder. Okay, we have public input on the preliminary end of year budget. Seeing
too confusing to ask any questions. I'm with you, Brad.
Thank you.
Yeah, kind of. Make the tails of anything.
I try to keep it as sweet and simple because then I understand with my own questions. Thank you.
Actually, I do have one question.
Go ahead, please.
How much was the addition to the seasonal hiring costs for last year? I gather one of the comments it was in your memo, was that there was an increase in expenditures for seasonal hiring.
There was an initiative to increase recreation programming, and what you'll see in the budget, how that's reflected, is that there was a budgeted overage in part-time salaries, but there is also an over-realization of revenue in several categories for recreation. The revenues that we bring in did not fully offset the salaries for those positions.
About how much are we off?
It's difficult for me to calculate. I can't tell you right now, but I would say that
are we talking and an tens
$8 million,
of thousands or hundreds of thousands?
Oh, no. Like tens of thousands, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not very much. That was under a different leadership, that style of public service delivery was under a different leadership in the budget going forward, and you'll see it in our first quarter budget. We have cut back on recreation programs, but really on those part-time salaries. So, you know, it's wonderful to say, hey, we pay fees for this, and, you know, we're going to hire staff and we're going to do all these wonderful programs, but typically the fees don't fully offset those staff costs, and
right.
So we have to align, as you know, everybody knows, we're aligning it. And so
right. You'll
see that in this year's budget, that
okay. That
is better aligned.
When you say it was under different
leadership,
is that board leadership or your
part of it? It's changed, so.
Okay.
We have general manager. Previous general manager.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What type of, well, I guess it doesn't matter at this point. Never mind.
Okay.
I will tell you that recreation, it's important for a community services district. We have parks and rec districts, that's all they do. But at a community services district, the recreation department, one, works on behalf of the entire district, especially with our community outreach and stuff like that and newsletters. But two, we have to be very strategic in the service delivery that we do. And so we, if programs are underperforming, we don't do it.
Okay, thank you.
So back to board. Any further comments?
Just looking forward to the audit, when we're going to get the audit, now that we've got our budget to actuals done. Any idea when that's coming forward?
I'm working with iBailey, so they're supposed to be giving me a date as to when we'll get everything finalized.
Good. Some pressure on them.
When does that audit need to be completed? What is the time frame?
We would have liked to have had it completed by December.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was wondering about. Okay, thank you for that.
And we're doing a dual audit this year, which is not uncommon for agencies to do a dual audit. It's what hasn't been our practice in the past, but we are doing it this year.
Explain what a dual audit is.
We're doing 21, 22, 22, 23 at the same time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this goes forward to the board?
Does it need to go forward to the board, or do
no?
we wait for the audit? I would like the board to see it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you want it under general business, or would you like to have it as a consent item? Or
what I'd like to do is have it as a consent item with the understanding that the audit would be placed on the general business.
Okay.
But I don't know if we can pull that off. I mean, is that even a good idea?
I think it's just explaining why we don't have the audit.
If you think it's going to be pulled, I just assume put it on general business.
I think it will be pulled.
Yeah, then let's just put it on general business,
okay.
And we can do a very brief 10-minute overview.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, so next one is the first quarter fiscal year 2023-24 budget actuals. Ms. Greek?
All right. So by September, we're about 25% through the fiscal year. We're about on target with where we were last year. Typically this time of year, our revenues are quite a bit lower because we haven't gotten property taxes our expenditures do seem a little bit lower because we haven't gotten a lot of our first quarter bills from those larger contracts that we have. So it looks like the one-time things that we do pay, workers' compensation, liability, CalPERS, the unfunded, those are all paid at the beginning of the year. Have any questions?
We seem to be on track overall.
Yeah.
If you look at our summer operations, July, August, September are the heavy months for expenditures in our park system. So that's in the first part of the fiscal year. We have less expenditures in May and June, but then most of our revenues come in the springtime. Annual passes, signups for day camp, and all of those things are heavy revenue in the spring and the last part of the fiscal year. So it's kind of upside down in revenues and expenditures is what I want to say.
And
so,
you don't see, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say for the public, there's been an extraordinary job of explaining everything, which is really nice for anybody who has a question. But I only have one question. And it says the pool and sports field rentals are down due to vacancies in the recreation department. Why is that?
We just haven't billed. So we had a position vacant, and we haven't, we have agreements in place with our sports teams and our swim teams and things like that. And we just haven't billed against those
agreements
yet.
So they're still using it at the same level. It's just we haven't billed.
We need to get caught up on our billing.
Okay.
And it's just a reflection of the shortages that we have at the district right now.
Okay.
And I think that the other thing that has been happening is last year we had a lot of overtime, and the expectation is that there is only incidental overtime. We don't want anybody running on a hamster wheel around here. And so I think for staff, it's realizing what their true capacity is in a workload for a 40-hour work week. And so that is also kind of being learned as we go forward. So.
And then I had one other question, which maybe Chief Milkins has said. There was emergency repairs on Station 89. What was that? I don't remember that.
The emergency repairs would be the asphalt and...
On the roof or around
water
parking
heater.
What was it?
So we had asphalt damage due to the storms this year.
On the parking?
Over by the tower where
okay.
the sandbag location was.
Yeah.
And then where the solar contractor put in part of the line going across, they guaranteed us that the asphalt would not sink where they put their trench, and it definitely sunk. So Mike, at the end of the year, had... emergency repairs done on that, and then we have the water heater, 89 items, emergency repair.
It's been a busy year for these things. Okay, thank you. Director Scobie?
Yeah, did we look for FEMA funds for that repair in the asphalt?
That was part of Mike's, Mike
Good.
Was dealing with that with the FEMA stuff.
Good, so it wasn't
part
included?
Of the storm damage.
Okay, good. And
Mike
then,
handled all
does staff see any red flags so far this quarter?
Mm-mm.
Everything looks...
No, I, yeah. Christina made a low down. She went down one by one. And then I went through it one by one, and we compared notes, and we seem
okay.
to be on track.
All right, I don't have any further questions. I'm just really happy to see this. We haven't seen quarterly reports in a while,
So
I'm really happy. Thank you for bringing this forward. I don't think it needs to go to the board, the quarter reports.
Okay.
But mid-year and final.
Okay,
so
sure.
So we can let them know when we do our report out at Budget and Admin, should they like to see it. It's posted. I think that would be
perfect.
My thought. But let's see what the... public input.
Yeah, go ahead. Public input on this? None? Okay. Back to the board. I concur. I'm really pleased to see this. I think it gives me more better understanding of where we are. I really do appreciate that. Director Scobie, anything further?
Nope.
Okay. Very good. We move on to item number 4, Accountability Act report. Ms. Greig.
This is just a report that we do annually for CCNR. So it's just basically there, and this is for last year, 22-23, to show what was brought in assessments and where all of those funds went for the year for CCNRs.
Yeah, we do this every year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it gets sent to the county.
Dr. Scobie, any questions?
No questions.
I have no questions. Public input on the CCNRs? None? Seeing none, it's closed. Director Scobie, anything further?
Can we stuff it on the consent agenda?
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. I think that's the way to go with that. Thank you. Okay, then we move on to item number 5, the 2024 fee schedule for copies, CDs, and encroachment permits. General Manager?
Yeah, and this is just our annual update of fees. November, December timeframe, we come through and... update all of our fees. Chief Richards is going to come back to the fire committee next month with fire marshal fees. We've already vetted facility use fees with the Parks and Recreation Committee. And so these are kind of the miscellaneous fees that we're bringing to the Budget and Admin Committee. These fees have not been adjusted lately, but I went ahead and moved them up a little bit. I would say that we really don't get requests for this.
And could you give us an example of an encroachment fee?
So if somebody was doing work in their backyard and their backyard backed up into, say, Gateway Park, and they wanted to access their backyard through Gateway Park, they would encroach upon our property, and they would need a permit to do that.
So they bring their tractor or their trucks or whatever in.
Right,
across the
right,
park.
Right.
Okay, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
No questions, Director Scobie, any questions?
Yeah, I believe the report says that we have to justify the fees. We can't charge more than what it costs. So how did you come up with the amount to charge?
What the cost of the CDs are, staff time, you know, a little overhead for the staff, including benefits and wages and things like that. We considered that.
Do you sometimes have to tear a fence apart and then put it back together or something like that?
For encroachment fees, that's up to the private property. The private property owner that's looking for encroachment, that is seeking an encroachment permit, has to make any repairs to damages and things like that, and that's why we have a deposit.
Okay, so it's on the property owner.
Did I answer your question as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Any public input on this? Okay, Director Scobie, anything further?
Yeah, consent agenda.
Okay, I agree.
And we may move this to December because
That's
the
fine
fee
too.
is not
it's
applicable.
Low hanging
yeah,
fruit.
Yeah, and it starts in January.
Okay.
So, okay.
December sounds fine.
Okay. Item 6, amendment to municipal services group agreement, scope of services. General Manager?
Yes. Municipal services group agreement is the consulting agreement that we have that Mr. Ashton is assisting us with our annexation discussions and our 2x2 discussions, and looking at other sustainable options for fire services. He's also on contract to help coach the new general manager when that new general manager arrives. A strategic plan, which the district has, we have a 2021 through 2026 strategic plan that was approved in about the middle part of 2021, that should be updated and reviewed by the board on an annual basis. And so we wanted to provide the board a platform to have that update and that review. I think circumstances have changed in our district since 2021. Many of the initiatives, sustainability, creating community, a lot of those vision statements are still applicable, but the task associated with achieving those may have changed over the last, you know, year and a half.
So for the benefit of all of us here, when was the strategic plan written?
In middle part of 2021 was when the board approved it. Mr. Ashton has that capacity, and he's also involved in one. The strategic plan becomes the document that the board provides direction to staff. So staff knows, has marching orders. You know, they take that strategic plan and they say, oh, they want me to do X, Y, and Z. And so that is the board's ability to provide direction to the general manager, who then provides direction to staff. And it makes sure that the board, because there's five of them and only one general manager, it makes sure that they're all in agreement as far as the direction that's given. That strategic plan also becomes the performance review for the general manager. Have they achieved the things that were prioritized and outlined in the strategic plan? If anybody is interested, our strategic plan is posted on the main page of our website, and I should have brought copies tonight. I didn't think about it. I'm sorry. One, since Don is helping with one of the strategic objectives as far as sustainability goes, and since he will be coaching the new general manager, we felt it was appropriate and timely for the board to have a review of the strategic plan. The community is involved in that review, has input into that review, so that there can be a update and direction given to the new general manager.
Thank you. Director Scobie, any questions?
So we have a tentative date of Wednesday the 29th for a board review. Is that still something that we're going to be looking at, or are we going to postpone that for our new general manager?
I think it depends on what the board would like to do. Noticing for meetings don't need to be done right now, and so I think it's something that you can, you know, there's certainly a new general manager would have input into a strategic plan, but not to this, if, especially if they're new to the community, not to the same level that the board and the staff do. And they're one cog in a bigger wheel. So if you have somebody that's coming in from the outside and you want them to get to work right away, you may want the strategic plan already vetted, marching orders in place, to then say, here you go. And then the marching orders are met. So I think that there's no wrong way to do this update. You can either wait till you have a general manager and have them participate, or you can have it now so that it's ready and those instructions are given to the staff and to the general manager when they arrive.
So we could go ahead and make this amendment, but it's not necessarily tied to the date of the 20th.
Correct.
It's just some future date to be determined.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And if you're not, you know, ready to move on this right away and need to regroup, we can certainly do that as well.
My only other question is, could you point out where in the contract this additional verbiage for them to help us with the strategic plan is?
I think.
Because everything looked the same to me and I couldn't seem to find it.
I think we're amending it, aren't we, Joe?
Is there
let
like
me
a
see what I did.
Amendment?
Let me see what I did.
Okay, because I couldn't find it. And so maybe I can't find it, or maybe
because it was amended,
maybe.
I think, yeah.
I think it's just your original contract.
So I put the original contract in there, and I probably didn't provide you. I may not have provided you. Staff recommends.
To scope of services.
Because on page 4 is executive level coaching guidance, but
yeah.
Nothing about strategic plan.
What I should have done is provided a board resolution that would have provided the verbiage that would then amend the agreement in an agreement amendment. So this is a little
incomplete.
Little incomplete.
Okay.
So
if
you choose to move this to the board, what I would do is have a resolution and a contract amendment that would state specifically strategic planning services.
That makes sense to me. I can go either way on this.
I'd like to have it in place when the new general manager comes on board.
Okay, so let's move it.
Suggestion moving this forward then.
Hear from
okay.
The public.
So that's my question. Public input.
How much?
No change to the amount that we are paying. So
okay,
is it?
It was like 45,000 or something.
Yeah.
And that was allotted for this fiscal year.
It was included in the current fiscal year. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's no change in the amount that we are paying.
Okay.
We're just kind of broadening what with the expectations of what we want from this
consultant. I hate to put it, but you got to do what you want.
Yeah.
It's a lot of gobbledygook.
Okay, any further input? Yes, sir.
So the current strategic plan is 21 to 26, 5-year plan.
Yes.
Yes.
You suggested that every year the board reviews that plan.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, did they make adjustments to the plan?
So if you go to our, can you pull up our strategic plan? There is a table in the back of the plan. That is typically where adjustments are made on what those action steps are. And that I think that, for example, there is a lot of verbiage in there about a FireWise community and certification. I think as the board moved through that process, they found that it's not really the district that can do that and achieve that certification. It's really a neighborhood community-driven process. But that's not to say that we couldn't support that, educate that, and things like that. So it's those kinds of, you know, kind of refreshes that need to play case. Strategic plan is supposed to be a static document for 5 years so that you have, so that the staff aren't doing 100 different things, you know, that you have a set direction. So that's the best thing about a strategic plan.
So the one thing you mentioned was sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And I interpret that as sustainability to the fire service, fire and life safety that the district provides. Based upon what you said, given the current circumstances,
mm-hmm.
If that changes, is this document going to reflect those changes?
So go down a little bit more, Christina. Keep going. Mission statement. Keep going. One more. Okay. Here's your vision statement. Be financially stable and adaptable. Become a FireWise community, enhance the sense of community, and then take steps for environmental sustainability. So those were the vision things that came out of this. And then you have your strategic focus areas, and here's the statement about financial sustainability. But in this section, there is not, and while we want to be sustainable, there isn't necessarily anything in there specific towards looking at sustainability for fire. I think it's more about the district. It looks at pursue annexation of properties within the sphere of influence. Implement the solar project, which has been done. So I think it's taking a look at here's what we want to do. Here's how our circumstances have changed. Let's change some of these tasks that we're having staff do to achieve these strategic objectives, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. And you know you'll and it keeps the district on track. So let's say somebody came to us and said, hey, I've got this empty building, and I think it would be a great performing arts center, and we think that you guys should buy it. It would be very easy to say, oh, we should do that. That's a wonderful idea. But that's nowhere in the strategic plan. And so this is it's also a document that kind of protects the district from getting off track.
And I guess I would say we've had two new board members since this was created 3 years ago. So it should carry over new boards. And
it's a longer view.
So it's not really a static document, per se. Because by what you just said, those new board members should get up to speed on the strategic plan instead of the strategic plan get up to speed on the board members. That's what I heard you say, is that the new board members now have an effect, cause and effect on that document.
I don't know how to respond to that. It's a longer-term view and longer-term goals, but do things change over time? Yes, they do. So does that kind of explain?
No, that's fine. What I'm talking about.
Is it the plan to change it, or is it the plan to educate?
The plan is to update some of the elements to implement the strategic plan. Okay. So that's the intent. And then in 2026, and this is where we started with this, is that we went to it was the document that ended, I think it ended in 2021, so what would that have been? 2015, 2016 to 2021, there was a strategic plan when I arrived. And so before we started this, we took that strategic plan and all of the committees went through it, our standing committees, to see what did we accomplish, did we do this, did we not, and so that was our first step towards a new strategic plan. It was to understand what we did in the past, did we accomplish these things, did we not. I think that when we went through it, I think 90% of the stuff was done. And so that was when, it's time for a new strategic plan. Brought in a consultant and we created this plan. So it carries forward through, even if there are board changes, the strategic objectives in this plan shouldn't. But boards can reverse themselves. It's about respect of what has come before you.
Yeah, exactly. The whole idea of that.
Yeah.
Guidance.
Right.
And you can't just keep adjusting guidance. Otherwise,
You're not effective. And part of our strategic objectives or focus areas was to govern effectively.
And prioritize, too, because
mm-hmm.
we can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, any further public input? Thank you for that. Director Scobie?
Well, if we forward it to the board, it probably should be in a...
Hold. Yeah, I think it's a general business
general
item.
Business
if you're ready... And we're still putting together the agenda. If you decide that you want to wait a month before you have this conversation, you know, it's up to you. We're still putting together the agenda.
Given how packed and how many committees are sending items to the board, if this is one that staff feels can wait till December, then I'd say have it wait.
I would concur.
Is it one that you think should wait?
I'll be really honest. I don't know that the board is ready to take action on this in November. I'll be really honest.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I would like to say, no, you have to do this before your general manager gets here, I just don't know that your board is ready to have that conversation yet. So,
okay.
I mean, I'll be really honest, but that's me being the general manager honest.
All right. Well, my thought then is unless there's room in the agenda, which I understand is really packed, then this should wait till December. Again, thinking that everybody's not ready and we wouldn't even get to it anyway.
Yeah.
Is that okay with you, Sid?
Mm-hmm. I concur. I think we're just kind of overloaded to many other things that are maybe important. Okay, items for future committee meetings, the Lighting Landscape District, Plan of Action, underfunded districts.
What about staff reports?
We're not there yet, are we?
Yeah.
Oh, did I miss a whole section? I certainly did, thank you. Very good, staff reports, check register review. Okay, Ms. Greek, anything? I don't know if there's anything to report out. It's just a long list of checks. Did you have any questions, Director Scobie?
Yeah, there's one check to Umpqua Bank for nearly $30,000. I think it's credit cards.
Yep, that's credit cards.
Now, I didn't think it was best practices for districts to be spending money on credit cards like that. I thought that we had like policies in place that you purchase things that are, I don't know what the amount is, $5K or something. And so how did we end up running up a $30,000 credit card?
I think our preference is to pay on invoices. It's a little bit easier for everybody to see, for us to just pay on invoices and have people bill us. I believe that a lot of that credit card was due to the American Rescue Fund purchases of all of that equipment. So, and supplies that were funded by that grant. So we had a $40,000 grant, and I think probably $10,000 or $15,000 was through that credit card transactions.
So don't we have a policy or a policy on credit card use?
We can check it. I don't know that we have a good, do you know, Christina?
It's not really,
it's not a robust policy for credit card uses.
Well, I think we need to revisit that. Okay. I think we need to bring back to this committee a robust credit card policy. And that's something I learned at CSDA when I went to my education training. They brought up credit cards.
Yes.
And that's one of the risk areas for districts.
Yes, it very much is.
It's a risk for us. So we need to revisit that and implement that policy. Yeah. So that's something that kind of got, really hammered on me.
Do we have an upper limit on our credit cards?
There are ways for us to manage credit cards and individual users with limits, also with categories of what they can buy and things like that. And I know Christina and I have had some discussions about that, and we certainly can. I know that credit cards can really trip you up, agencies up, by...
Yeah, because what I learned was that they talked about number of cards, limits on cards, restrictions on
what you
can go on the card.
Yes.
And that if we don't, we're opened up to a lot of risk and audits and extra bookkeeping, just having to go through those things.
Yes.
So that scared me.
Yes, so, it does. And it's uncomfortable for me. I think that it's really best practice to get a bill, pay on the bill.
Yeah. And so can you add also to our future agenda items a credit card policy to look at that? We have kind of like an ongoing to-do list, and that to me really bubbles up to the top.
Okay, got it.
So those are my only questions on check register.
And any public input questions on check register? Seeing none, we come back to board members, and I think that's anything further?
That's all I had on that,
yeah. Some staff direction on that, very good. Okay, and the update, let's see, finance office, monthly report. Would you like to say something?
Yeah, just been slimming in numbers with the annexation situation and everything else. So it's been fun and trying to do two audits at the same time also. So.
Well, you did a beautiful analysis of all the other details, so thank you for that.
Yeah, Christina has been deep in our tax rate areas.
Okay, so. Very good. Okay. Public questions, input. Seeing none, back to board members. Director Scobie, anything further?
No, there's an item 7C, update on LAFCO's draft municipal service review.
Oh,
could we have
that was submitted. It was the response was submitted. So Christina and I worked on the response to the municipal services group draft MSR, and it was submitted. I didn't think they needed comments back for a while, but they are finalizing the document, I guess, for their board.
So just real quick on that process. So when we make comments on their draft, do they incorporate those comments? Do they double check what we're giving them? I mean, what do they just believe us and update the document? I mean, how does that work?
So let me see how I want to explain this. So the district was involved in the creation of this draft document. So we had staff here that were a part of that document. I'm not sure exactly what was provided to them and what they were responding to. When the draft document was released by LAFCO, it had the district's input into it. But what I found, and whether it was the district, whether it was LAFCO, or somewhere in between, the information wasn't all accurate. And so now the district is now having to make comments on the draft document through their public comment process. And so I believe that they needed us to have our comments in there by a certain date because they wanted their attorney to review it. So I think their attorneys review these. When Christina and I made comments, especially on the numbers portion, we embedded that with the source document. So it was important to us to have a source document on the comments that we were providing.
Could you just give us one example of things that you had to help them with or correct?
Some of the really big errors or glaring errors was that they had our administrative office at Station 89.
Okay.
And that we were responsible for weed abatement along our road corridors. And that is a county DOT responsibility. I think that there were areas where I felt that they were talking about an existing circumstance, but they were leading the reader into a future circumstance. And I felt like if you're talking about an existing circumstance, let's talk about the existing circumstance and let's leave any projections on this for where it's more appropriate. So I did some of that. So they may not accept all of our comments, but you know, I think that we kind of cleaned up the document for a reader trying to get accurate information about the district.
Okay. When are they releasing the final document?
I don't know, and I sometimes so I can check in with them.
December was their next meeting with this stuff.
With this stuff was early
December.
6th.
Yeah,
they were going to review the draft. And finalize it.
I'm glad you guys follow it better than I do.
Is that available for public reading at that point?
It
was out.
Published. It was published.
It was published. Now the final hasn't been published.
The draft document.
The draft document's out.
Finalize it
right.
On the 6th.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank
and then
you.
Publish it. So mm-hmm. The final one typically has your comments in there.
Included somewhere? Okay. All right. Thank you for that. We're all learning together. Thank you. Any further public input, which is most appreciated. Okay, if not, Dick, Director Scobie, anything
that's
further?
That's all I had. Thank you.
Okay, no, I have nothing further. So this is just a staff update. There's nothing, no action needed on this.
Right, correct.
Okay, very good. Now go to items for future committee meetings. The first one is the Lighting and Landscape District for the underfunded districts. How many of those do we have, by the way?
There's only three that are in the negative right now. The PG&E is actually providing new LED lights and new LED light fixtures, and we'll be installing over 125 new lights in these areas that are underfunded. So, and then what will happen is through the savings in the LED light, it'll save the district so that those lighting and landscape districts then that deficit is addressed. So the deficit is not much. I mean, it's something that we can recover within the next few years. If we are unable, if the LED lights don't work and don't save enough money and the lighting and landscape districts continue to operate in the red, then it's a conversation with the residents of that district and for them to choose whether or not they want to pay an additional tax assessment to keep the lights on their street, or the landscape medium maintained, or not. And if they choose not to, then we drop services.
So we're basically funding these beyond what they're paying in as neighborhoods.
I would say that their cash flow is being supported by our general fund.
Okay.
But there is a plan to address and correct that cash flow so that those three out of 20. We have only four lighting and landscape districts have an escalator. All the other 20, so 16 of our lighting and landscape have no escalator on their taxes. A lot of them are fine. They're going to be funded for years. Whatever the assessment was more than covers what the cost is of that district. But there's just a few that are not, the tax revenues does not cover the cost of electricity in that neighborhood.
But we know PG&E rates are going up.
I didn't, the escalator was the tax assessments were done at a time where it was easier for boards to increase those assessments to cover cost. Since Proposition 218 passed, it's not that easy. And now many areas are faced with these tax assessments that have no escalator on them. And that's what we are. But again, it's the resident's decision on what to do, because these are all supposed to be self-funded. The district manages it within the tax revenues that are, it's a benefit tax assessment for those residents.
Director Scobie?
That seems so illogical. It's an item for future committee meeting, and we're having a big discussion about it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wait, got it.
Same with item B. Item B is a future item coming back.
Yes.
And that's coming back because there's new laws.
Item C, we're adding credit card policies.
Got it. Yes, right there.
Okay.
Next meeting. If possible.
Okay, very good. Okay, items to forward to the board of directors. And they're all consent items, weren't they? Let's see.
Let's go through them.
Let's see. Yeah, please do.
Wage and comp study is moving to the board with a funding source, I believe, general business. Preliminary year end.
General business.
First quarter, we're not moving ahead. Accountability Act, we're moving.
Consent.
Fee schedules, waiting till December. And the amendment is also to MRG.
December.
Yeah. Okay, good job.
Okay. Matters to and from committee members and staff. Director Scobie, anything?
Went to the CSDA, sat and had lunch with Mo.
Oh, did you really?
Okay. I walk in there, I'm like, what? What are you doing here? So.
Okay.
I learned a lot on there. Are we going to be adding that as well, having
presentation.
A little report out?
I have not added it. I forgot.
I remembered it and then I forgot it. Yes,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I don't want to take a lot of time. My thought was maybe each director who attended provide no more than maybe 3 minutes,
mm-hmm.
so we keep it below 10.
Okay.
3 minute, what they learned, highlights, the benefits to the district, and I think that would be important.
Was it just two board
There's
members that
three
attended?
Of us
three,
us.
Three of you.
Tim,
okay.
Don, and I. Were,
okay, very good.
So I think that would be my matters.
General Manager, anything to report?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I would just say I was invited to the opening of a training facility on Eldorado Hills for firemen, and kind of amazing structures, two-story and three-story, where they can put fires in there, and firemen can go in with all their equipment and the gas masks on, and kind of see what the, how scary it must be. It was just hard to imagine how terrifying it was. And they had great food, and the MC was our chief over here, and he did a great job and kept it lighthearted, and people enjoyed themselves. And our local congressman was there, and a whole lot of other park people from all over. It was really quite a nice event. So thank you for inviting me, and I'm really proud of our community. And I think what struck me also was you have contracts set up for like 50 weeks or something like that. I mean, it's way beyond our little community. It's all over the state. Am I not correct?
That's
yeah.
Correct.
So it's quite a phenomenal thing you put together. I'm very, and I got the impression it was like 20 years in the making. So
yes.
You got a lot of the history. Very impressive. Thank you for that. Okay, motion to adjourn is in order.
No, nothing from staff?
No, nope. I asked already.
Nope.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Daylight daylight saving time. Yeah, motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Okay, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
7:42.
Wow. Amazing.
Did we,
7:42. 7:42, you did fine.
Less than an hour.
Yeah, well done. Okay.